Our speaker is Kat Richardson, and she is best known for her paranormal detective novels, part of the Greywalker series. And she actually was a volunteer here at the library a while back. She was a reader of the Sunday Funnies for our Evergreen Radio Reading Service. Greywalker series is in audio here. We have books 1 through 6, and I'll bring them around. I have a signed copy of the audiobook of book number 1, Greywalker, for each of our centenarians to take with you. Hopefully you'll enjoy that. And a little bit more about Kat. She's originally from California, and she has a magazine journalism degree from California State University. She's done a lot of work in theater, and my favorite, she lives on a boat with her pit bull named Bella, which is wonderful. So Kat, welcome.
Wow, thank you very much. That was really wonderful. It's really an honor to be here with all of you. I never expected anyone to say, would you like to come in and talk to people who have been long around twice as long as you have and are therefore a lot more interesting. But David Junius sent me an email a while back and said, it would be lovely if you would do this. And I thought, yes, it would. It would be lovely for me. Hopefully it will be lovely for you. So as they said, I write books. And I write books because I read books. And I used to read, as she said, right here in this building, reading aloud. But not books, the Sunday Funnies. Yeah, that was me for a while. Some of you might have heard me. I read the Sunday Funnies with Jeff Cavanaugh for the Evergreen Reading Radio Service for a couple of years. And sometimes I was the voice of Rat from Pearls Before Swine. Yeah, Rat, that's right, that was Rat. And sometimes I was the crocodile who wants to prey upon his Ziva Neva. And I was Sally Forth, and I was Blondie, and I was Opal from Pickles. And so many characters, I can't even remember all of their names. But they were all my friends, and in their way, they helped me to get published and become a better writer. Now, I'm not sure why anyone thought I should be reading the Sunday Funnies. But that's where they put me, and it was so much fun. I was really grateful for whatever crazy fluke landed me on that particular program. Because I had really expected to be reading books, and not my own books, because they hadn't yet been written. You see, I already knew how to read, because when I was in college, my roommate, Chris, who was and is still my best friend, was blind. And I would read her textbooks to her, and other books, and letters, and school paperwork, even the tests and the junk mail. And sometimes it was great fun. And I rediscovered the connection between reading and telling a story, between what you think and what you mean, and what you actually say. So I was a journalism major at the time. And one of the rules for writing in periodical publications, you know, where space is limited and you have to do it really quick, is to make every word count, to use the most fitting words, you know, the ones with depth and specificity, and to make your prose feel real and intimate and immediate, you know, like a conversation, as if you're just talking to the reader. And it helps if you read your work aloud. So reading from my roommate became a habit that also informed my schoolwork and what I did after I graduated, which was magazine journalism, which sounds unsexy. And is. Luckily, I really like to read aloud. And now I do it all the time when I'm writing and editing my own books. And sometimes I read other people's books aloud. Okay, not in public, at least not very often, since I no longer ride the bus. But at home, you know, I like to hear the voice of the book out in the room, as if the writer is telling me the story. And I like to share books. And there's something about reading aloud that makes it very special, more special than just reading to yourself. Reading aloud used to be a common practice, a way of sharing the news, sharing a book, sharing a letter. Alexander Pantages, who founded the Pantages Theater chain, actually planted the seed of his fortune by reading aloud. Let me tell you the story, because I always think this is funny. it seems that when he arrived in Dawson City during the Klondike Gold Rush, one of the things he had with him was a recent newspaper. And since boats arrived irregularly and often with long stretches of time between them, recent news was rare and much sought after. So when a man in Dawson City saw that Pantages was reading the newspaper, he offered to buy it for about four times what Pantages had paid for it. I believe he offered him 50 cents. Hey, it was a long time ago, folks. Newspapers used to be a nickel. Anyhow, Pantages decided to sell not the paper, but the reading of the paper. So he arranged a time and a place, and he sat down, and he read the paper aloud, and he charged anyone who wanted to listen a dime. You know what a dime could buy back then? That was a lot of money. And he did this over and over. And needless to say, he did make a lot of money until the next boat came in. But he continued to do this for quite a while and amassed the beginnings of his fortune, which he then reinvested. But all from reading aloud. Now, not everyone can make that kind of money from reading aloud, but the reasons for doing so have remained the same. And it used to be that books and stories and news articles and all of those things that we now see in print and online were originally written to be read aloud. And it was just assumed that that's what would happen. All the famous books we know right up into the early 20th century were intended to be read aloud. And you can tell by the way they sound. Think of the opening lines of Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca. Last night I dreamt I went to Manderley again. It seemed to me I stood by the iron gate leading to the drive, and for a while I could not enter, for the way was barred to me. Or Scaramouche from 1952, one of the greatest swashbuckling novels of all time by Raphael Sabatini. He was born with the gift of laughter and a sense that the world was mad. And of course it's a great book. And of course you all know Jane Austen's famous opening line from Pride and Prejudice. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. Are we still making that assumption? Even the truly overblown, "It was a dark and stormy night. The rain fell in torrents, except at occasional intervals when it was checked by a violent gust of wind which swept up the streets, for it is in London that our scene lies, rattling along the housetops and fiercely agitating the scanty flame of the lamps that struggled against the darkness," which is from Paul Clifford by Edward Bulwer Lytton. The quote, of course, gave rise to the hilarious annual Bulwer Lytton competition for the very worst possible opening line. And even that is funnier and more outrageously loopy when read aloud. And that's why I at least, really love reading aloud. You get so much more from the text when it's shared in all of its glory, or lack of it, on the free air of a common room. And I picked up this quirk, I think, from my father, who would read to my sister and me, and later to my much younger brother. And he read to us every night before bedtime, when I was a little girl, all these wonderful books. The Wind in the Willows, The Chronicles of Narnia, My Father's Dragon, The Hobbit, and Winnie the Pooh. There goes Edward Bear, thump, 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 on his head down the stair. He didn't stick to children's books. He read us all sorts of books. And like the grandfather in The Princess Bride, he edited out all the boring bits and the kissing bits. Dad's idea of a good fairy tale was The Odyssey by Homer. Yeah, and for years, you know, I had no idea what Circe the Sorceress and Odysseus were really up to on that island for a whole year. And I read it again as a teenager. Well, imagine my surprise when I found out. And it certainly made me want to go back and read all of those books again. But that wasn't the end of my associations with reading aloud. My grandmother, whose name was Jane Smith, was Jane Smith. She was a remarkable woman who also read aloud. She'd been a social worker at the Jane Addams House in Chicago as a young woman and an active member of the League of Women Voters. She volunteered with Recording for the Blind after she moved to California much later in her life. And I remember her going every week to her recording sessions. And I used to wonder why she did it. Wasn't it a lot of work, you know, for people she didn't know? But she said, "Reading opens the world, and if you can't read for yourself, you need someone to hold open the door." And when I read for others, I hold open the door. There are three things I always remember about my grandmother. Tall glasses of 7 and 7 on Friday nights, once the sun was over the yard arm, which often involved a lot of stooping. Singing, Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town, in her slightly off-key voice. And Jane going every week to hold the door. So many years later, I was unemployed after moving from Los Angeles to Seattle with my husband, and I started to get depressed, thinking I would never find a job. Being a magazine in LA, a magazine editor in Los Angeles, just it didn't seem to impress anyone. Some friends suggested that I should volunteer somewhere just to keep busy, but I thought maybe I should emulate Jane, that I should hold open a door. So I came here to the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library, and I auditioned to read. I was very anxious about my reading because some of you may have noticed that I lisp a little, and I wanted Grandma Jane to be proud of me. A couple of days later, when I thought I had blown it completely because I wasn't sure if people preferred valet or valet, I got a call and I was told that I would be reading the Sunday Funnies. And it was almost as big a thrill as the day someone told me they wanted to publish my book. So I started reading for the radio service here, and the experience really helped my confidence. I sent out resumes and went on interviews, and I landed a job doing technical editing for Microsoft. It was my first job with a huge company. And I kept on reading the Sunday Funnies. And while I was working for Microsoft, I thought, if I can do this, maybe I can sell that book I wrote. And I went at it just like I'd gone after that job. I kept sending things out, and I kept trying, and I kept working until I got an agent. And I did 10-hour days at work, and I rode the bus for 2 hours each way, and I worked on my book every night and every weekend. And I kept on reading the Sunday Funnies. And a year or so ago, after that, my agent found a publisher for my book, so I had to revise it. And I began by reading it aloud. Reading and writing and editing and talking and talking and talking, kind of like I'm doing now. My neighbors must have thought I was crazy. The first book was a success, and then there were more, and always I kept on reading aloud. But I did stop reading the Sunday Funnies. My schedule got so busy and so difficult that I couldn't fit the recordings in on a regular basis. So I had to let someone else take over. But I didn't stop reading aloud. Now I had to start reading my own books aloud to strangers. In bookstores and at conventions, in rooms full of people I had never met. But the experience and the confidence I acquired from reading here at the Talking Book and Braille Library, reading Sunday Funnies, stuck with me. And I won't say it was easy. It's harder to read your own words than it is those of someone else. And at first I wasn't sure how people would feel about my books, but they seem to like them well enough. Well enough that sometimes they don't want me to stop reading. And I believe that the things I learned here are part of the reason. There is more to reading aloud than just good diction and good pacing. It's holding open the door and sharing the world, sharing the story. Sometimes we don't listen to each other anymore, just to our own soundtrack playing from mobile devices into our earbuds without actually interfacing with other people, you know, without participating in the story. But when we stop and listen to each other, reading or just talking, we are making a connection to each other, to the world, to the experience of others and the greatest adventures, joys, and sorrows of all time. When we read aloud, we invest in the listener, and when we listen, really listen, we connect to the speaker and our experience expands. We share, and we hope to understand. We reach for more. And when we share the experience of reading and listening, when we pass it on to 1 or 3 or 30 or 100 other people, we participate in a larger story that knits all of us together. We hold open a door for others to join in the story. And I hope that all of you will continue to enjoy our mutual story, reading and listening, and to bless us with your stories. Thank you for listening to me today.